Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, with our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, we are continuing our important series of conversations on conflict. It's just a given of our human condition. How we handle it, if we handle it, it can have a dramatic impact on lots of life for either good or ill. There's a bit in this for all of us, I'm sure. Lynn Worsley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
Great to see you. Lynn, to get the context and set it, let's recap some of last week's conversations we kicked off on conflict. Take us where we
are. Yes, okay. Now, last week we talked about that conflict is actually a perception of threat, and that conflict is a necessary thing for survival, a necessary thing for growth and for change.
Yeah.
So no conflict, no growth. No conflict, no change, and no conflict, you don't survive. So last week we went through these whole three aspects and how we change and how we need conflict to grow and how our very survival depends on a level of conflict to help us to get ready for threats. And all of these are needed for healthy relationships.
Yes.
And relationships, of course, are the core of our being.
I wanted to touch on this in a bit of detail this week. We made mention of it last week. You say that conflict is that normal part of healthy relationships, which I think is quite a revelation for many of us.
Yes.
But what about that old married couple who you read about? They say, oh, we've never had a fight in our marriage at all.
I think that's a bit strange.
Tell the truth.
Yes. Yes. Either that or they've had the conflict and it stayed inside and they haven't grown a lot or yes. Maybe not talked about it. But after all, two people can't be expected to agree on everything at all times.
Yes.
And learning how to deal with conflict rather than avoiding it is actually crucial. Now, when conflict is mismanaged, it actually harms our relationship. And when handled in a respectful, positive way, conflict actually provides an opportunity for growth, ultimately strengthening the bond between two people. So learning these skills for conflict resolution, you can keep your personal and professional relationships strong and growing.
Mm.
Now, if we're going to understand conflict in relationships, we need to actually see that conflict comes from differences or differences in opinion or differences in values. People often disagree over their values, over their motivation, and over their perception or ideas and desires that they have about particular things. So sometimes the differences look like they're quite trivial, but when the conflict triggers strong feelings, a very deep personal need is at the core of the problem.
Yes.
So it needs to be a place where you can feel safe and secure, and you need to also have a feeling of being respected and valued, and a need for greater closeness and intimacy in a relationship. And so conflict is actually a little bit of a threat to those things.
Okay. You also say that conflicts arise from differing needs.
Yeah, everyone needs to feel understood.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to be nurtured and supported, but the ways in which these needs are met vary from one person to the other. So differing needs for feeling comfortable and safe create some of the most severe challenges in our personal and professional relationships.
Yes.
Now think about the conflicting need for safety and continuity versus the need to explore and to take risks. You know, that's a little bit like our, you know, insurance things. You know, we're sort of madly trying to keep insurance and in place and trying to avoid being sued. Then that's sort of avoiding actually taking risks. And so we don't grow.
But it can be tricky, can't it?
It can be very tricky.
Yes.
But you frequently see this sort of conflict between toddlers and their parents. The child's need is to explore so the street or the cliff meets a need. But the parents' need is to protect the child for safety, so limiting their exploration becomes a bone of contention for them.
Yes, let's just hope the parents watching.
Yes, but it's important to acknowledge that both parties' needs play important roles in the long-term success of most relationships, and each person deserves the respect and the consideration in a relationship.
Yeah.
In personal relationships, a lack of understanding about differing needs can actually result in a lot of distance, some arguments and breakups. And in workplace, conflicts are, you know, rife, and there's different needs and often very much at the very heart of the bitter disputes. So when you recognize the legitimacy of conflicting needs and become willing to understand them in a very compassionate and understanding way, it actually opens pathways to create a much better way of solving problems and building teams and actually having improved relationships.
I think, and not only during this series of conversations, but I think in some of our conversations where you've said this kind of stuff is good for us, this stuff that's tough, has been quite a personal revelation to me. I don't know whether it's just the life I've lived or the way I was brought up, but I've always seen this conflict stuff as, well, you shouldn't have that, and you should do everything you can to avoid it or just walk away from it.
But actually, I keep on
hearing you saying, no, this is good for you.
It is good for us. So we're wired for struggle. We're born wired for struggle.
Oh, no. My shoulders slump. But you're saying, you know, it's a cute way of saying it, but it's character building. But it is character building.
It is. Yeah. And we need to be able to exercise the muscles of struggling. And so that we know how to struggle well and we know the direction that we want to head in. So if we're having conflict with people, to be very clear that the conflict is there in order to help us to understand things differently from each other.
Can I ask you one question my daughter put to me yesterday? We're talking about building character, or this morning actually, on the way to church. And your R word came up because she said, what do you mean by building character? What's that look like? So I used resilience, but how would you answer that? Okay, I'm building my character through challenging stuff, through conflict, through stuff that stretches me. What's my character going to look like after that?
I think it's about broadening our minds.
Okay.
So if you're having a struggle and you're being challenged and someone doesn't like you or someone's saying something about you that you're not happy with, it gives you the opportunity to then look at yourself and broaden your mind and broaden your perspective. It's not nice to hear not so nice things.
Yeah.
But it also helps you to actually start reflecting on those things and working out whether that's a perspective that's right or not. It also might mean that you then start to look at things from their perspective. So your mind broadens. And that's how you build your character.
Yeah.
It means that you become more open and broad-minded in your way of looking at things.
So it makes you more resilient. But it also changes things about you.
Well, if you're more broad-minded and you're able to see things from another's perspective, you're more likely to be able to have new and different relationships. So you're more likely to be able to connect with people.
Yes. Yep.
So you're not as narrow in the number of people you connect with. So the more people you connect with, the more resilient you're going to be in life. The more likely that you're going to be able to adapt to other people around you and be able to accommodate them into your life and vice versa.
If only we'd had you in the car this morning, but anyhow, I'll take that home and report back. So you've come up with Conflict 101 for us, which sounds great actually, and I've seen a bit of this. Take us through that step by step then.
Okay. A conflict is more than just a disagreement.
Okay.
It's a situation in which one or both parties perceive a threat, whether or not the threat is real. So think about that. Both people are feeling threatened, so there's conflict.
Yes.
And one of the best things you can think about then is that, okay, it's not just a disagreement here and that I don't have to win this argument. I actually need to see that person is feeling threatened.
Yes.
So if they're feeling threatened, why do they feel threatened? What can I do to help them to feel less threatened? The second one is that conflicts continue to fester when they're ignored. So you can't just pretend that they're going to go away. And because conflicts actually involved perceived threats to our well-being and survival, they'll actually stay with us until we actually face them.
Okay, here's my question again there. So what if you know that the conflict is going to be worse by dealing with it?
Okay, there's a difference. You can deal with it or you can acknowledge it.
Okay, the difference.
So you can't, if you ignore conflict and pretend it's not there, you're not going to acknowledge it.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so the conflict is there. It might be that what you think and what I think are very different. But if I ignore it, I would just push you away and pretend that what you think isn't there.
Yes.
I'll ignore it completely and just talk about something else. If I acknowledge it, I then acknowledge that your view is different to my view, but I'd like to know more about your view. I don't have to have your view, but I can hear it. So then it becomes something that isn't so threatening for me.
But it depends on both sides acknowledging that there's got to be a way through this conflict rather than just escalating forever.
That's right, yes. That's right. Yeah. So oftentimes when someone has a differing view, it's usually that each person is trying desperately to beat the other person in terms of having yes. the most important view.
I don't know what that's like.
No.
Sure, none of us do on Open House. Yes.
But just think about it. In the best case scenario, if both people are able to see that view and acknowledge that they don't agree with it, but it's a different view.
Yes.
Then they're going to have a broadened mind. The hard part is if they actually have to move forward with one view.
Yeah. So we're responding to conflicts based on our perceptions.
That's right. That's exactly right. So it's not necessarily an objective review of the facts. It's really about we perceive things in different ways. So our perceptions are influenced by our life experiences, our cultures, our values, and our beliefs. I also think, too, about our agendas.
Yes.
We often have an agenda with something, and that's why we have that view.
But that's an important distinction to make, the difference between our perceptions, how we see something, and the facts of a matter.
That's right.
It may well be different.
That's yes. right. And which is why it's really helpful to have conflict, because then all of a sudden you see that somebody else is just as passionate about something as you, and so then you think you might just have a new idea that you haven't had before. Now, conflicts can also trigger really strong emotions.
Yes.
If you're not comfortable with your emotions or able to manage them in times of stress, you won't be able to resolve the conflict successfully. And oftentimes we show our emotions in our body. And so you can have conflict and you might feel a tightness in your throat, or you might feel a heaviness in your chest or in the back of your neck. Some people feel it in their stomach, and some people feel quite sick. And others feel quite dizzy. And it's really important to pick up where your body feels those strong conflicting emotions and recognize them. And sometimes just holding that part of your body and then going, okay, this is here. I need to actually be able to sit with it for a little while and understand where the conflict is coming from.
Can you help someone with that physical kind of thing as opposed to a psychological problem?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And quite often times you see someone who's just resolved the conflict or worked through it or cried through it or acknowledged what their conflict is about. And then they'll go, my neck's much better. I can't believe it. Or I'm feeling so much stronger and I feel like there's something off my shoulders now and so on. Now, in that process as well, conflict is then an opportunity for growth. Now, I talked about that last week.
Yes.
When you're able to resolve conflict in a relationship, it actually builds trust. When you feel secure knowing that your relationship can survive a challenge and a disagreement, it then strengthens the relationship.
Yeah.
So having a good fight and making up at the end is sometimes a really good point of growth.
Yes. What if conflict may feel more threatening to someone than it really is? Because that's quite a likely scenario.
That's right. If you fear conflict or avoid it at all costs, it may be that your perception of conflict comes from a frightening or a painful memory from previous relationships, or perhaps your early childhood, or you might even expect the present-day disagreements to always end badly like they may have done when you were a child. You also might view conflict in relationships as demoralizing or humiliating and dangerous and something to fear.
Yes, yes.
So if your early life experience have left you feeling out of control and perhaps powerless, the conflict may again be more traumatizing for you.
Mm.
So if you view conflict as dangerous, it tends to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you go into the conflict situation already feeling threatened, it's tough to deal with a problem at hand in a healthy way. So you're more likely to shut down or blow up in anger. So that's when you recognize that happening and you recognize that you run away from conflict, it's really important to start thinking about why and perhaps thinking about learning some other healthy ways to respond to conflict.
Yeah. Okay, one thing you're going to do for us tonight is just go quickly through some both healthy ways and unhealthy ways of managing and resolving conflict. run through those
okay,
because I think this is really helpful.
Yeah, an unhealthy, I'll give an unhealthy response and then I'll give the alternative.
Okay,
so an unhealthy response to conflict is when you're not able to recognize and respond to the things that matter to the other person. So you're busy trying to just support your cause.
Yes.
The healthy response is that you have the capacity to recognize and respond to the other person and to the matter that they have there. So it might be that you can just put yours aside for a second and respond to where they're coming from without feeling at risk.
I'm not going to underestimate the challenge of that, though.
That's a huge challenge.
Yes.
An unhealthy response to conflict would be to be explosive, angry, hurtful, resentful, and personal in your responses.
Yes.
And a healthy response would be to stand there calmly, not be defensive.
Yep.
Or disrespectful, but just to just calmly hear or state your cause without being defensive. That's really
easy. That's again a really challenging thing.
That's
but
right.
Worthwhile identifying.
It is,
yes.
And the next one is the unhealthy response to conflict is to withdraw love, to stonewall, to stop someone from even having any talking. So that might feel like they're being rejected. Might feel like there's some isolation, and it might be shaming that person, and can send a fear of abandonment to them. A healthy response to the conflict is a readiness to forgive and to forget, and a move away from the conflict without holding resentments.
Yes.
So that's actually a process. That doesn't happen overnight. No. And sometimes you have to actually do the things before you feel like them.
Yes, yeah.
Another unhealthy way is to not compromise and see the other person's side. A healthy one is to seek some sort of compromise and avoid any sort of put downs.
Yeah.
The last one I'll put in is this: an unhealthy response is a fear and an avoidance of conflict,
which is what I was saying before.
Yeah. So you can be aggressive, but you can also be passive aggressive by not actually dealing with it at all. And so a healthy response is that the belief that facing the conflict head on is actually the best for both sides. And that takes a lot of courage.
I can imagine there are people all around Australia, and we know who listen all around the world to you, Lynn Worsley, who have been lapping this up, and it's a really important series of conversations on conflict. Look forward to seeing where it heads next week. Thanks so much again.
Thanks for having me.
As always.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.